Hey now, and guess what time it is? That's right, it's porch time, and I am, y'all already know, I'm Miss McKinney. Stay tuned and click the link in this episode. You will get to hear the inspirational and encouraging words of a mother whose son contracted COVID-19 back in late December, but is still having some aftermath or after effects of having had COVID. Please stay tuned. Click the link. Awesome sauce. Thank you so much. I can hear you perfectly clear, and welcome to the porch. I want to say thank you so much for joining me. I've known you for a long time. You've been an inspiration and a great friend. We've fallen in and out of communication, but we always seem to end up here. So I thank you for that forgiveness and that friendship and for joining us on the porch. How are you today?
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm doing great. Enjoying my Mother's Day weekend.
Yes. And you know what I want to do? I want to expand that because it's Sons and Daughters Week. So how did we just get a day?
Right.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're going to join us today to talk to us about COVID.
Yes, that's correct.
All righty. So tell us a little bit about what you've been through.
Okay. So a lot of what I'm going to talk about is the relationship of, you know, having a child with COVID and how it affects them personally and how it affects the household.
And folks that are listening, I want you guys to know that she's coming to you with a background in psychology, right?
Correct.
Right. So she's experienced it firsthand, as well as, you know, she has insight to the medical aspect of it, too. So that's awesome. That's why you're going to be a great guest on the porch. Go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you. So to start off with, we all know that COVID started, I want to say, last year, and we learn so much every day, but it's really hard to find out different things when it affects a child. I mean, they're still trying to figure all that out when it comes to children. And a lot of people think that COVID is just respiratory issue. And I'm here firsthand to let you know that it can also affect one's brain.
Wow. And so that's a little bit about what you've been going through. Because you're right. They did tell us that it is a respiratory disease. That's the symptoms pretty much that they told us to look out for, but it hits you from the side at a different angle, huh?
Correct. And it was like a silent issue. It's like never really saw it coming. It's sort of like when you go to Walmart and park your car and do the clicker thing because you can't remember where you parked. That's sort of like some of the issues that happens when it sets up an infection inside the brain, sort of like when you hear people say there's a brain fog. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like you're there, but you're outside of your body.
Okay. So then your child had COVID back in December, was it?
Correct.
And he didn't show any signs or symptoms, right? He showed no signs or symptoms of having COVID while he had it.
Right. Just allergies, I was thinking, mainly just allergies, because normal 15-year-old, very athletic, played every sport since 5. You know, to go to school, they check your temperature, you know. So never really saw anything outside of just complaining of a headache, backache, sore stomach. That's about it. But then it sort of like went away.
And how long did it last?
Oh, gosh, it's still going on, actually. Not really the upset stomach and stuff like that, but like the brain fog is still there. So when we went through Children's Hospital for a week, and then he did the steroid therapy for 5 days, and then some of the memories started coming back. Mm-hmm. And that's when he was like, actually, to him, it started like around Halloween. And it was like a slow process. It started with forgetting how to get dressed. But when you're 15-year-old, you're embarrassed to tell your parents, hey, I'm having trouble putting my clothes on. And then he would forget to tell us because then he was having memory lapse.
Right. So you went from, he thinks he contracted it around October. That's when he noticed that his brain was a little foggy. But then it was after December before it was actually noticeable to somebody else. And then he wasn't able to tell you guys really what was going on either, right?
Correct,
Yeah.
correct. Because he was learning to be codependent and how to cope and hide it to where we wouldn't know. And what I mean by that is like putting on athletic shorts underneath his regular school pants. So when he went to athletics, all he had to do was just take off his pants. There wasn't a delay in getting dressed. So it was just like accommodating to the disease. But he really didn't know what was going on either, just that something was different about his body.
And so I know that the accommodation, you definitely wish that he would have told you what was going on, but that's a pretty smart move to
Right.
realize, something's going on with my body, so I'm going to do this so I don't have so many problems later on down the line. And that's pretty excellent. So you guys made it to the hospital. How long were you guys there?
Yes. We was there 7 days
Okay.
before they finally figured out what was going on.
And what was the deciding factor that made you guys go to the hospital?
Just like a look of confusion on his face and not really knowing what was going on. And I mean, just for instance, like just strong urine smells. We thought maybe dehydration. And my sister was like, hey, maybe he had a stroke. I mean, because there was like really a confused state there. And then we started realizing, hey, we're running the shower water for 30 minutes and nobody's getting in.
Okay. So you guys made it to the hospital. They ran a gamut of tests, I'm sure.
Yes. Yes.
Was he still testing positive for COVID for them to be able to link it to COVID right away?
No,
Okay.
he did not have COVID at the time. So, because in order to be admitted to the hospital, they do test to get the test back. So he was COVID free. And but since all the weird behaviors that I was seeing was going on, they wanted to keep him for like more tests and to make sure that, hey, this isn't any seizures. We don't have any blockage anywhere, checking kidneys, doing all this different type of things. And then probably by the, third day we was there, that's when they did the antibody blood test, and that's where it can detect if you have actually had COVID in the past, but not exactly like back when.
Okay, I didn't know that they had a test out there until talking to you that could actually tell you if you've had it before. I just thought they had something for right now. So that's when you learned that he had COVID. So take me through that moment when they tell you that he has had COVID and you had no clue.
Well, it was like bittersweet. It was like a sign of relief that you knew, okay, I'm not crazy. Like, I know the stuff that I've been seeing is actually linked to a reason. And but the sad part is like, how do we get past it? Where do we go from here? Because it was new to the people at the hospital, because like I said, they haven't seen a lot of this at all, but nonetheless in children. So it was very odd. So it's like I still just been looking for answers and hope and whatever I can do to help somebody else.
Yes, ma'am. And so it wasn't until after you told me your situation. And of course, you know me, I was talking to other people, like my job, my part-time job, and things like that, that they started saying that in adults, one lady I worked with said that her adult son had lost strength in his hand due to COVID. And then they started reporting a few things about kids across the nation and the after effects of COVID with them. But you're right, there's not a whole lot out there. So you guys get
Right.
home. Is he feeling a little bit better at this point, or you feel like you guys
Yes.
came home because they were like, just okay, so good.
Well, it seemed like there was improvement, and I think through the steroid therapy, but we still just wasn't quite there. Like something was still off and not clicking. And when I say about that, like there was still a delay. Whatever it did, it affected the frontal lobe, which had to do with his ADL skills, which is his everyday daily living skills. And that's, for instance, getting dressed, taking showers, making your bed. Those were only the main focus. Everything else he could do perfect. He still remember how to do basketball. He was playing basketball during all of this. He still had no trouble with eating, walking, anything like that. Just those main three areas.
And so that would have just confused the heck out of me. I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to say that. So there's things, I know you said that he can remember like computer passwords, and like you said, he's still playing sports. And y'all listeners, he flourishes in sports as well. He's done those things too, but he just forgot how to do the ADLs, the activities of daily living.
Right.
So yes. Tate, what is that like from your, well, given, you know, you've got that psychology background, what does that feel like? How do you train the household for this healing?
Right. So what that looks like is average 1 to 2 hours to get ready in the morning. So if we have to be to school by 8, we're getting up at 5:30, 5:45. And it seems like it's easy for us is just to say, put your pants on, put your shirt on. But there's like a blockage in the brain that doesn't send those nervous system to tell the brain how to say, hey, okay, this arm goes here, or this leg goes here. I'm able to put it on like this. And then when it's on, it doesn't feel comfortable because it has messed up the sensory, sort of like a tactile dysfunction. So certain materials don't feel comfortable. So if it's blue jeans, it may feel like, you know, a cotton patch or just something very uncomfortable. So everything looks normal, but it's not.
Which is difficult to be treated and difficult to receive the, I wouldn't say empathy, but that's right, because we are in a nation that's going through a national pandemic. We all have to understand that this has affected everyone in some type of way, some more serious than others. So what was it like returning to school? Do you want to share that with us?
So the return to school, it was sort of difficult because schools really don't know how to address those issues, you know, when it comes to that, because usually they say stay at home, 2 weeks, and then you come back and you're pretty much normal. Mm-hmm. But when it still affects you day to day, it's like you got to look at everything a little bit different. You're in high school, you have 8 classes, you have to keep up with all these grades. So I know I have talked to you on many occasions, and a lot of people just weekly, like, you know, trying to be the advocate for your child. Like, okay, his grades are 20s and 30s. We're slipping. We're missing something here. He's been in the bathroom a long time. It's like, I just need more communication from the school. Look, I need some help. Right. Because pretty much what we're doing isn't working. It's sort of like dealing with somebody with dementia. Every day you get up is literally a new day. You may have a good 2-3 days, and then, hey, next day, you never know what you're going to get.
And so, listeners, I want you guys to realize this, is that, you know, she has a son that's in high school that's going through this. As I said before, you know, a strong sports advocate, been in the school system all along. And so not only did it shock the household, but it sounds like it shocked them too. Right. Are they going to do anything to help you guys along the way? I know there's going to be a process in figuring out just exactly what that is, but are they now on board with helping you along the way?
Right. Yes. And I know that God has, everything happens for a reason.
Yes.
And I really do know that it has also affected him mentally and behaviorally with the new person. And, you know, he may say stuff and then stop and realize that he said it afterwards that may end up getting him in trouble, and being so close to almost getting kicked out of school for being teased. We finally did have, I was able to reach out to a company called PRN, which is just advocates for parents who have people or children who have a disability, whether it's permanent or, you know, whatever, just someone to be an advocate for the parents. And it's not really to get the school in trouble or anything like that, or try to sue the school. It's just to have everybody on the same page. So we were able to reverse the alternative school and, you know, try to get him more one-on-one help, and where he can come back and finish up the rest of the 9th grade and then move, you know, forward with his grades. And his grades have been up. I mean, he has all 6, well, he has 8 classes, but one of them is athletics still. So he has 6 of them up. And then, so he really just got to work on one right now, because athletics, I'm not counting that. So he has made a big improvement, just takes that more one-on-one and people really knowing what you're going through.
And so kudos to you for being smart enough to, for being humble enough to reach out to someone and ask them for help. I know that I would have had a hard time, still have a hard time doing it with my son, but reaching out to ask for help. I'm so glad. I'm elated that you felt comfortable enough to reach out to someone. And then I'm really glad that they were strong individuals that came and actually helped. And it sounds like now the school understands a little bit more and you guys can be on the same page with moving forward. Yes.
Right. Right. Correct. And our schedule is still very difficult. And when I say that, is like a lot of doctor's appointments, physical therapy, a lot of occupational therapy, you know, counseling twice a week, neurologist, neurosurgeon, and now we have like a chiropractor slash sports medicine person. So I'm hoping with this big support team that we could eventually get him back on the right page, which I'm very optimistic because everybody is saying with him being so young and so active is not permanent. You know, it's all just temporarily. It's just trying to get what's ever going on with him. It's just trying to get all this, you know, to the next stage where he's able to get out the brain fog. That's the biggest part.
And I think it's really marvelous that you've reached out to different individuals for help. Like you would never think to go to a chiropractor or a sports medicine doctor for something like this. But right. I think when you told me about it, he's accustomed to retraining the brain, like after a concussion or something like that. And so this kind of falls in line. It sounds like to me, this sounds falls right in line with that. So kudos to you for looking for additional treatments. It's not always about medication.
Right. And that wasn't just me. It's just like talking to, you know, friends like you and other people. And they'd be like, hey, you know, I had somebody do this that had COVID before and I had somebody do this. And it's just like putting the whole puzzle together. And I'm at the point now to like, hey, OK, I'm willing to try it. You know, at least give it a try. And you're right. The new doctor that he's seeing that all about medicine is pretty much like reprogramming your brain. You know, trying to get those muscles to learn how to work together. And I'm very positive that, you know, we're finally on the right road, even though it has been, you know, several months. The only thing that makes my day is giving my son a sense of hope.
Yes. Yes. And I already know because of the individual you are, you probably provide more hope to him than you even realize every day for minutes and seconds a day, I'm sure.
Well, thank you. I hope so.
So it sounds like you're on the right track. You've done some things. You've reached out to the right people. Everybody understands that this is very real and are on board now. Anything else? Has it been difficult within the community? I know that you've had some other individuals he's been able to do with like local churches and things like that. Anybody else?
The church and friends, you know, stepping up, I think pretty much played a big sport. And then, you know, his growth. I mean, it really do take a toll on you. And it's not easy. And, you know, I will say to the point of, he did get a little frustrated, and we do get to the point of where we question God, why me, why this, you know, and different things like that. So we have really been rebuilding his relationship with God. So when I say counseling, he's more in like spiritual counseling to gain that relationship back with God.
And that's absolutely awesome, because that's probably the best thing that we can do is always reach out to God when we have issues or problems.
Correct.
What would you say to someone who notices, so COVID has been out and, you know, they have a child about the same age as you and they start noticing this type of behavior? What would you say to them?
I would say definitely don't ignore it. And it's not that we did, you know, when you have a child that's doing stuff that's not normal behavior, really look into that. And then it's sort of hard because I really don't think his regular pediatrician would have actually noticed that this was post-viral from COVID. And she even told me that and has been, you know, a pediatrician for 16 years because it's all new. But you know, maybe you can be like, hey, I heard this happened to somebody else whose child was putting their clothes on backwards or inside out or putting them on and off and on and off, that is not just them acting out, that it may be something related to COVID.
Okay. And is there anything else you want to share with us about? I know I had those questions, but is there anything else that maybe we missed that's important for people to know?
The only thing that I didn't bring up is he has two smaller brothers that's in the house, and it does affect the household because you have to like regroup and reschedule and all like that around the individual who is going through the illness at the time. So, like a lot of patients, it's not easy. It's not dealing. It's sort of like dealing with someone with a brain injury, even though it's not a brain injury. It's more like brain fog, but the characteristics, you know, are the same. Just don't be afraid to reach out and have the school have them, you know, checked out or have that antibody test to see if they had COVID in the past, because sometimes it's hard to detect whether or not an individual actually had it or not. And just try to, you know about the different people that you can talk to help you with the school and just different levels like that.
Okay. Most excellent. Do you feel like there's some more support out there for children of COVID adverse reactions now, or is it still about the same?
I really don't. I still think there's a lot of that they don't know, and I think a lot of more kids are actually going through it, but they're not reporting it, maybe. They're just trying to deal with it at home. And, you know, a lot of them may be going through it, and it may be 2 to 3 weeks you see the brain fog, but this has been like 5, 6 months. So, I mean, every day is a challenge. So, I really don't think there's a lot of information still out there. I mean, I'm still searching for information, even though I've been dealing with it and going through it, not to the extent he's been going through it, but still been having to go through the data issues with it, not really struggles, but issues. So I'm hoping that pretty soon they'll come up with something that will help if any individual with the brain fog of like how to get past that.
Okay. So it sounds like a good idea is when you notice these type of behaviors, and we're not just talking about kids too. I think this could be adults too, right?
Right. It can happen in adults too. And actually, when I, because I research it every day, I have seen where it has happened in adults in 9 months to get past it, but not in the US. Like I have seen it in China. And that's because I have a friend that's a pediatrician that was like, hey, we always wondered, did it affect the brain? And, you know, they did it up and she was like, this has happened, but the youngest person was like 38. And like I said, my son is 15. So when you talk about it, you haven't anybody reported going through what he's going through at his age and for the length of time.
And so they said that it goes through for about 7 to 8 months. So it is something that it reverses
Right, depending
on
on your
its own,
age.
even without help, it would still
Right.
reverse.
Right.
Okay.
So with him being 15, now if someone my age and they're 40, the case may be a little different, but
Right.
they're saying with the age of 15, you have the young brain and you're very athletic. So, you know, your brain is still developing. So you the chances of getting past this is very good. She's like, even if he sat at home, mom, and did nothing, it would just take a little longer. But they recommended different stuff from drinking water, eating healthy, exercising, setting your phone for timers and reminders, writing in your journal, whether you share it or not, just therapeutic to, you know, actually, you know, get it out there.
Awesome. So would you care to share some of your coping mechanisms that you've had to practice since this has all been going on, besides patience? You already said that was key and number one.
Yes, and
Any
very
other
hard.
coping mechanisms?
The only thing I will admit, I write every day. And if I can't do it every day, like 2-3 days, I do like the journal from where we all started to where he's at now. That way he can show, improvement, like, hey, I used to do this and here I am. And I used to do this and how long it took and, different things like that. And it helps me that way I can look back at it and be like, oh, we done got past this or we done got past this. Wow. So I've been writing day one, just pretty much what the day-to-day issues look like and what's going on and different things like that. So that pretty much helps me. And then anytime I have an issue and my son will say I talk too much, is that I always text my girlfriends and stuff like that and be like, okay, y'all, this is what's going on now. And then a lot of them be like, well, have you tried this? Or I know this person, or let's do this. So sort of like that circle of friend thing.
Yes. And circle of influence is extremely important.
Yes. Yes.
I thank you so very, very much for joining us on the porch.
You're
you
welcome.
Guys, let's be sure to keep them lifted in prayer. This is a sweet young man and a beautiful family that this has happened to. But as you hear, they've got the optimism and the positive and the positive vibes and the faith to make it through. And I'm certain of that. Thank you again for joining
You're
us.
You're welcome. I appreciate you having me on.
Yes, ma'am. And I hope it won't be the last. I know we'll find another subject that my psychology friend will be able to help us with.
Sure.
Awesome. Definitely. We'll talk to you. Yes. We'll talk to you guys next time on the porch.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much again for joining us on the porch. That story inspires me in so many different ways. Not only did we not know that there were some after effects to COVID, but even the ones that have been reported seem to be for an adult and not for a child. So it was very important, very inspirational having you on the porch to be able to remind the listeners or even let listeners know that it could be in a child too. And then the things out there to watch for. The things you can pay attention to after you know that your child has contracted the virus. And another thing is just the resources that are out there. As she said, there's not very many right now. But as this becomes more well known, I hope that there will be resources out there because, of course, as we learned back in the 80s, our children are our future. Thank you so much again for joining us on the porch. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Be strong. Be you, which is absolutely beautiful. And don't let anybody else tell you different. And be blessed. Take care.